breaking news to begin NFL Live. A blockbuster trade is being finalized today to send Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs from Buffalo to Houston. Sources telling our Adam Schefter, and he'll join us momentarily. The Bills will receive a 2025 second-round pick in exchange for Diggs, a 2024 sixth-round pick, and a 2025 fifth-round pick. Diggs had at least 100 receptions in all four of his seasons with the Bills. He's one of four players in NFL history to catch at least 100 passes in four consecutive seasons, joining Antonio Brown, Devontae Adams, and Marvin Harrison. What a crew we have today. Phil Yates in studio with us. He's got a mock draft. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Adam Schefter is with us as well. Marcus Spears joining in just a bit. Couple of Dans are going to be dropping in later this hour. Graziano and Orlovsky. We've got breaking news. So, of course, we'll get their opinion. Adam, we want to start with you, though. Why did Buffalo trade away their top wideout?
Laura, this was something that had been brewing for recent months and really the last couple of seasons, where there were enough hints about Stephon Diggs being unhappy in Buffalo, his brother posting at various points on social media about Stephon Diggs wanting out, and today the Buffalo Bills acquiescing and sending him to Houston for in part a 2025 second round draft pick. Now, again, you could see Buffalo's offense not use Stephon Diggs in the second half of the season quite as much last year as they had. They came to rely on other weapons like James Cook and their former first-round draft pick, Dalton Kincaid. We saw some sideline incidents with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. We saw a year ago at the mandatory minicamp, Stephon Diggs not show up. The head coach, Sean McDermott, say he was very concerned. And lo and behold, the next day, Stephon Diggs is back. But all was not well. And this relationship had run its course, and Buffalo was prepared to go in a different direction, agreeing to a trade today to send Stephon Diggs to Houston, giving the Texans even more firepower and leaving Buffalo with a remade wide receiver crew on its hands now that it's traded Diggs to Houston and lost Gabe Davis to Jacksonville in free agency.
Marcus Spears is here now, as you can tell. And with all that context, Swagoo, how do you think Josh Allen's feeling about this?
Yeah, he has to be in an area of unknown, Boogie. Listen, like Schefter just alluded to, Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis is gone as well, and that's the production of your wide receiver group. Khalil Shakir came on during the playoffs. He was a phenomenal slot receiver. But you look at this roster that added Curtis Samuel, and you still look at it and say, well, who's the number one wide receiver? And I know we're focusing on the draft, and it's a lot of wide receiver talent in this draft, but Josh Allen has to be looking around like, this cupboard is getting pretty bare. And let alone Stephon Diggs, his guy with the most production, you look at the offensive and defensive side, and this could be the remnants of missing an opportunity. But Josh Allen has to be in a situation now where he's looking around saying, who am I going to get in order for us to compete in a rough AFC when it comes to how many good teams and good quarterbacks it is?
Let's address that bare cupboard, Field. What are their options in the draft?
Well, certainly this is a deep wide receiver class, Laura, and that is great news for the Buffalo Bills. My fear for Buffalo is if you hang tight at pick number 28, the kind of receiver that the Bills might want to target right now could bypass them, because this is a team who needs some size into that wide receiver spot after trading away Stephon Diggs. It's worth noting, though, that their GM, Brandon Bean, has traded up in the first round four times over the past 6 years. I'm not talking about necessarily a first-round trade-up that goes from pick 28, where they are now, into the top 10. That's prohibitively expensive. That would be kind of an all-in move. But could we see the Buffalo Bills move from 28 to 18, 20, 21, 22? That might put you in the territory for players like Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, one of the great deep accelerators in the class, and A.D. Mitchell, big-bodied wide receiver from Texas, who also ran in the 4.3s, had just one drop last season, and both of those guys have kind of the body type that might fit what the Buffalo Bills are now looking for in this post-Stephon Diggs era.
You think about that draft room on draft night, and Brandon Bean could be just looking there and seeing like, all right, so A.D. Mitchell's still there. Brian Thomas Jr. still there. Yeah, we will try to get up a few spots. It's an astute way to look at it. Brandon Bean, by the way, is speaking right now. We'll bring that to you momentarily. Adam, when you think about the free agency world with wide receivers, T. Higgins an option for them? Is there somebody else they should be looking for?
Well, Laura, Field touched on the draft options, and by and large, that's what this team is going to have to rely on, because by trading Stephon Diggs right now, the Bills are taking a cap charge of over $30 million, which is the largest cap charge ever taken for a wide receiver. They're about $4 million under the salary cap. So they could not afford to go trade for a wide receiver like T. Higgins. It wouldn't work with where they're at against the salary cap. So either they're going to have to find an underpriced free agent wide receiver, somebody like a Michael Gallup that's out there, or they're going to have to find a receiver in the draft. But to think that they could go trade for T. Higgins, that's not an option for this team right now. They will not be able to do that because they can't afford it, in part because of the cap charge and the cap hit they're taking for trading Diggs today.
And Boogie, see what Shefty is saying, and you we hear Babyface talking about the draft and trying to trade up. That's the sticking point, is the unknown, right? Mm. Like, if you go get a free agent that is improving outside of T. Higgins, you deal with the fact of, what if this guy doesn't pan out to be what we need him to be? And you have to even ask that question about rookies, even if you're moving up, for as much as attention these guys are about to get and the talent that they're bringing to the next level. The positive is, we've seen a lot of rookie wide receivers have a tremendous amount of success in this league because the game has started to translate from college to what they're doing in the pros. But Josh Allen, it all goes back to him. You think there was an immense amount of pressure to perform at a high level? Well, after today, it's just got heightened by 10. Yeah. And the Buffalo Bills and Brandon Bean, they have to do something to put some more talent at that position, because like I said before, all of the production for the majority of what they did at wide receiver has left the building.
I admittedly have not heard what Brandon Bean might be saying right now, Laura, so I don't know exactly how he is going to justify this trade of Stephon Diggs, but let's just call a spade. Adam referenced the fact that the Bills actually lose salary cap space this year. They got a 2025 second round pick, a pick a year away. And by the way, some people would say a 2025 second round pick is a modest price for Houston to pay to acquire Stephon Diggs. And beyond that, of course, they got a lot worse on this roster. A thin wide receiver room just got that much thinner. That tells you something. Despite the Bills' best efforts, going all the way back to mandatory minicamp last year to downplay that things could be a little bit amiss between Stephon Diggs and the organization, today was the realization that things clearly were not being seen eye to eye.
It was.
And this is one, and Swagoo, this makes it one of the most fascinating trades in a long time in the NFL.
Big time. When you see a trade like this, 100%. A really good player that you try to hold on to for all that time, you go through an entire season with, he still wasn't happy, it still wasn't working out. We will bring you what Brandon Bean is saying as soon as we can get that your way. Let's go to the Texans side of this trade. CJ Stroud gets another weapon to work with after his historic rookie season. And Stroud led the NFL in passing yards per game and touchdown to interception ratio. He joined Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and John Elway as the only quarterbacks over the last 35 seasons to lead the NFL in both of those categories. Those three quarterbacks all did it in their eighth season or later. Stroud did it as a rookie. I love that stat because I think it really tells the Stroud story. I mean, he's just better than we've seen in a really long time, maybe better than anyone has ever been as a rookie. Marcus, is Diggs a fit in that Houston offense?
Yes, he is. Listen, this is the happy part of what we talk about with this trade. First of all, listen, I love Buffalo. I love Bills Mafia. But sometimes it gets old playing in that cold. So for Stephon Diggs, this is probably a godsend for him. And you think about it, I live here in Dallas. He's now 3.5 hours away from his brother. And if anybody knows both of those guys, this relationship is phenomenal. When you start talking about how close they are and how much they care about each other and want to be around each other. But not only that, we watched C.J. Stroud last year. And if you're the Houston Texans, you make this move because C.J. Stroud showed you in a rookie year, I am good enough with pieces around me for us to be a legitimate threat in the AFC once we get into the playoffs. Stephon Diggs adds to a group of Tank Dell coming off of injury. Obviously, we saw how explosive he was down the field. You think about Nico Collins and how he stepped up, but the route running ability of Stephon Diggs married to the accuracy and ability to push the ball to CJ Stroud is phenomenal.
Big Swagoo, we got two Diggs brothers now in the state of Texas, not having to pay state income tax. I'm sure they're very happy about that. And the Houston Texans are very happy about having Stephon Diggs. And let's go back to how long they've been looking at this and eyeing Stephon Diggs. Let's go back a couple of weeks to when they called the Minnesota Vikings to initiate the trade to get extra second-round draft picks to move out of the first round. It wasn't the Vikings who were in need of a quarterback who initiated that trade. It was the Texans that initiated that trade. Texans. And they initiated it because they had a specific purpose in mind. The specific purpose was to get extra twos so they could then go trade for somebody like Stephon Diggs, who they were eyeing for this offense, restructuring contracts after that trade to create more salary cap space. So this really had been something that the Texans had been thinking about and planning for in the last few weeks. And today, they were able to make it a reality by agreeing to get that deal done and to bring in Stephon Diggs to make him the newest offensive weapon in an offense that has accumulated a ton of weapons. And one more thing about the Houston Texans. I want you to think about how far this franchise has come. 2 years ago, this team was a laughingstock.
Yep. Yeah.
Nobody around the league thought much of them, respected them. They were able to trade Deshaun Watson, who had legal issues, who had issues with the NFL, and get a boatload of compensation back. They were then able to turn that into arguably the best young quarterback in the game, who there was some luck involved in that pick as well, because they won in Indianapolis the last game that sent them to number two to only see Bryce Young go number one, leaving C.J. Stroud there too. And now this offseason, with a great rookie under the rookie quarterback contract, they've been able to surround him with all the weapons that they have, making them as legitimate a threat as there is in the league, and capping the turnaround from this team from 2 years ago to where it was in the National Football League, an incredible rise up for the Houston Texans.
You know, Field, as Adam takes you through all of that masterfully, it does make you think there was some luck involved, but the Texans have been a couple steps ahead, it seems like, even going back to the draft. And then, as Adam was just talking about, making sure they had those second-round picks, they initiated that trade.
What a fascinating note. It makes me rethink whether I should be so confident that Minnesota is going to try to move further up the board from number 11, where they currently stand, in 23 as well. I think just a quick draft note, it'd be a bit reductive to say that it's just C.J. Stroud, but he's certainly the driving force behind this turnaround for Houston, but a good lesson for the teams at the top of the board. Sometimes it's worth resisting temptation to move down. Take that quarterback, roll the dice. He can change the franchise around more than any other player. And some people are probably saying, why would the Texans take on Stephon Diggs if he admittedly had some frustration publicly on the sidelines in Buffalo? To me, this was a reflection of how strongly they feel about the leadership right now in Houston. D'Amico Ryan's their head coach, and C.J. Stroud, their quarterback, can keep Stephon Diggs on the straight and narrow, because when he's on his game, one of the most productive and best receivers in the NFL.
And maybe that scenery change is just what he needed anyway. All right, we do have Brandon Bean. He's speaking right now, but here's the latest from Buffalo and their GM.
Real quick, you know, obviously we know why we're here with the move with Steph. First, want to thank Steph, you know, for really good seasons, you know, when we traded for him in the COVID year. And I really appreciate everything you brought to the team. It was a big part of, you know, us winning four divisions. And these moves are never easy, very hard, not made overnight, anything like that. But anytime you make a move like this, as I said, very difficult, you're doing it, you're trying to win. And sometimes people may not see that, you know, this is by no means the Bills giving up or trying to take a step back or anything like that. Everything we do, we're trying to win, and we're going to continue to do that. It's, you know, it's April the 3rd or 4th, whatever it is, and we'll continue to work on this roster and make sure we're ready to play come September.
Adam, what do you make of Bean's comments there?
Listen, I think this is a move that the Buffalo Bills knew was coming, and a move that they felt like they had to make. It was inevitable, with this relationship running its course, that the Bills were going to have to go in a different direction. And so sometimes, as great as Stephon Diggs is, there's addition by subtraction. And sometimes you can create a better environment, even though you don't have the talent that you'd like in Buffalo. And so that is what the Buffalo Bills, I believe, are putting their hopes into right now, that they're hoping some of these young receivers can step up. They're hoping that there's better chemistry. They're hoping that there's not some of the sideline disagreements that there were between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. It's hard to lose a player as great as Stephon Diggs. Four straight 1,000-yard seasons, four straight Pro Bowls. We know what he's capable of, but they're hoping that by moving on, that this team somehow can be just as good, just as effective.
There's so much more to get to on this, and we'll be on it for the rest of this show. We are going to address the rest of the Houston side of this trade. And does this move make the Texans an automatic Super Bowl contender? Well, we'll explain. There's some people here that are even higher on them than you would think. Dan Orlovsky joining us with his thoughts. You don't want to miss that. Plus, who will the Commanders choose at number two? Here's what Terry McLaurin said.
Obviously, I don't know. They don't ask me. But my job is when they get here to kind of help bring them along as much as I can because, you know, we'll go as far as the quarterback goes.
NFL Live is brought to you by FX's American Horror Story Delicate. Returns with part two tonight on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Week two of the UFL continues Saturday on ABC with the Battlehawks hosting the Renegades at 8 Eastern. Then on Sunday, another matchup of unbeatens. The Stallions and Panthers kick off at noon Eastern on ESPN. The Roughnecks and DC Defenders at 4 on Fox. And the ESPN and ABC games can also be seen on ESPN Plus. Hey, Field Yates put out his 2-round mock draft this morning.
Double the pleasure. Not so much fun.
I think it's double the fun, too, but I didn't have to do the mock draft.
I was going to say, not for the one had to put it together.
Talk about it. Exactly. All right. So above us there, you can take a look at the top four picks. No real surprise in Chicago with Caleb Williams going number one overall. We like that. The run on QBs continues with the Commanders selecting Jaden Daniels, followed by the Patriots taking Drake May. The Cardinals break the QB streak with the fourth pick where they take Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. So let's go back to Washington. It gets pretty interesting. They began their voluntary workouts this week, and wideout Terry McLaurin was asked about the quarterback position this afternoon.
Where we're at in the draft, obviously we'll get the chance if they choose quarterback, we'll get one of the elite guys. So I'm just looking forward to whoever they bring in, kind of help bringing them along. Being going into my sixth year, I kind of know the lay of the land and everything, and anything that I can do to help them become acclimated and be a part of our team, I'm going to try to do that. So obviously I don't know. They don't ask me. But my job is when they get here to kind of help bring them along as much as I can because, you know, we'll go as far as the quarterback goes.
You know, Terry, I think they should ask you. Maybe
they
will. Let's get some quick reads from Field Yates, starting with Jaden Daniels to Washington, that pick. Why is that the move?
Yeah, I don't feel totally certain which way the winds are blowing on who the Commanders will take at quarterback at number two overall, Laura, but I'm starting to feel like more and more it's Jaden Daniels. Shefty, of course, alluded to that on his podcast yesterday, but when you don't have total certainty, you break the tie by trusting your own eyes. The second quarterback overall and the second overall player on my board is Jaden Daniels, the best player in college football this past season. Changes the way you have to play defense, also changes the way that you can play offense with that dual threat ability. But not that far behind him is Drake May to the Patriots at number three overall. I am not convinced that people are totally appreciating Drake May at this time. Just turned 21 years old, Laura. I get it. It wasn't as great in 2023 as it was in 2022, but we're talking about ideal quarterback stature at 6'4", 230 pounds, has an absolute hose for an arm. Good on the run, as you see right there. A lot of what he does looks effortless. I think the offensive coordinator change and general lack of talent around him relative to other quarterbacks quarterbacks really impacted him this past year. And then let's keep things rolling. More quarterback talk. J.J. McCarthy, who ends up going fifth overall to the Vikings in a trade-up with the Chargers. Although Shefty's notes earlier made me think that maybe the Vikings aren't certain to be trading up with J.J. You're talking about ball placement. You're talking about accuracy. You're talking about athletic ability as well. This is higher than I have him on my overall big board, 21st overall. But it certainly feels like there is a lot of love for J.J. McCarthy, and it would be a great fit in this Kevin O'Connell scheme in Minnesota. Moreover, it will be a great situation for him because between Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson and a capable offensive line, and now Aaron Jones in the backfield, you would certainly feel really good about this offense's ability to score points in a hurry with J.J. under center.
Supply, demand, it always really factors in when it comes to the quarterback. Some guys can get a little boost thanks to that. More from Field is coming, and you don't want to miss it. We've got a lot more coming your way on NFL Live. We get to the Cowboys. Their special teams coach, John Fassel, joining the show. We're going to discuss all things Cowboys, including Jerry Jones' comments about being all in this offseason. Plus, a deep dive in the new kickoff rules that you don't want to miss. We'll be right back on ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live. If you're wondering what can result from the kickoff rule change the NFL will adopt for next season, here's an example where the new rule was implemented in the XFL. The kickoff return for a touchdown there, and a reminder of what this new rule will look like. Here's all the details. The ball will still be kicked from the 35, but now the rest of the kicking team must line up at the opposing 40. The receiving team must have at least 9 players lined up in the setup zone, located between their own 30 and 35. They can then have up to 2 returners set up in the landing zone, which is located between the goal line and their own 20-yard line. I hope you're visualizing a football field in your head. That's what I'm doing. The kicker and returners are the only players allowed to move before the ball hits the ground or is touched by a returner in the landing zone. Safety was a big deal there, but there's also a lot more to this. We are now joined by Cowboys special teams coach John Fassel. John, you were one of the biggest voices in favor of the new kickoff rule. What was the thought process behind wanting to make such a drastic change to kickoffs?
Yeah, thanks for having me, by the way. It really started probably in 2021 after the first XFL season. They had a modified season, and they put in this concept that I thought was pretty fascinating. Because what it does, it just puts everybody on kickoff and kickoff return at the spot where when the ball is caught, this is where we are. So you can see the tape right here. As soon as the ball is caught, everybody goes. And this looks like an NFL play once the ball gets caught. It's just a little bit unique at the start because everybody's basically starting offsides. But, you know, last year we talked about doing this. And then after this past season with the touchback rate where it was, we just said we have to go to a play that puts the ball in play more often. But it's also safer, and I think we accomplished both tasks, making it a better play and a safer play, and I'm fired up to see what it looks like and where it goes.
Me too. I mean, just the concept alone gets you excited. What changes are you expecting specifically for this to bring to games?
I mean, the ball is going to be in play. The kickoff returner is going to be a significant part of the game.
Yeah.
I think you're going to have a lot of unpredictable drive starts. The value of the core special teamer goes way up. And nobody's allowed to go to the bathroom or to the concession stand during a kickoff anymore because this is a football play you got to see. So that's a huge part of it. It's going to be a great thing. I'm excited for the fans. I'm excited for our players. And for all special teams coaches, you know, we got some work to do because this is different.
Yeah. Right. I mean, to that point, this has got to change the way you think when it comes to offseason additions or at this time, even how teams are going to go into the draft. What about that? Do you need, John, to make sure you have a good returner more than ever now?
Yeah, I think that was one of the big reasons why we wanted to vote this in at the owners' meetings last week is because people wanted time to build their roster. Now it's not building the whole roster, but it might be building, you know, roster spot 48 to 53. And, you know, if you don't have a returner you feel good with, you got to get one now because the ball is going to be in play. You know, we're anticipating at least 50 to 60% of the time, you know, and who's your core guys that are covering and blocking on these kicks? You know, there has to be an added value to the Matthew Slaters, the Jalen Reeves Mabins, you know, our CJ Goodwin. I think the value of those special teams guys goes up, and it's good for business for the special teams part. And it's going to be a really cool play. It's a great concept. It's going to be unique. It's going to be unpredictable the first couple of weeks, and I think it'll be cool for everybody to tune in and see how it goes.
You know, we can't have a member of the Cowboys coaching staff on this show without bringing in the big Swagoo, Marcus Spears. I'll pass it over to you, Swag. You got a question for
What's
John?
What's up, Coach?
What's up, Marcus?
Yeah, I have more now. What's up, Coach? Good to see you, man. I have more now listening to him talk about this this new return. John, the first question, special teams-wise, because you know I'm a grumpy defender, is it anybody at a disadvantage? Because I played special teams. We all had to do it when we were rookies. And we were able to create free hitters by crossers. We were able to create that stuff. How much of that was discussed when you start talking about does this create a significant advantage either for the return team or the defenders?
Yeah, Marcus, that's a great question. First of all, I think you would belong on kickoff team in this new setup, Marcus. Because you don't got to run, man. All you do is, I mean, you're right there. So let's get back to it from 5 yards away. So I'm putting you on kickoff at the R5 spot. But I think, you know, we had 591 plays of XFL videotape to dissect and evaluate. And the biggest thing was what were the unintended consequences that maybe they couldn't predict that we were able to dissect on film. And with our hybrid part of it, let's put something together that kind of takes away maybe some disadvantages or, you know, special advantages or things that didn't look really good about the play. And so, in my opinion, just going through these plays over and over again, I think it's going to be a challenge covering kicks. You know, I think there's a little bit of a weighted towards the kickoff return with having a setup zone, which we have, which the XFL didn't. You know, we can go two returner look, and the XFL could only go one returner look. So the creativity by the kickoff return team was going to be a big thing. And I really feel like there's a big challenge for covering kickoffs. That's gonna be awesome. Yeah. It's gonna be great. And the kickoff guys, the boys got to step up, man.
That's what I was interested to hear. My last one, Coach. So you get Mike back, obviously, Coach McCarthy, and you get Dak back. And this season, obviously, people have had all of the talk about free agency moves not made, moves that are made. What is the tone and temperature in the building, and how do you feel about going into the season with a lot of guys that y'all are very familiar with? What's the feel around the star right now?
Man, I mean, if you're in the huddle with us right now, I think you feel pretty good. And I know whatever's out there is out there, but we got some great young players, like Coach McCarthy said, in the bullpen that some people don't know about. I think there's a little bit of a hunger to get back not only to where we were, but to get to another level. And I just think we have some guys that maybe nobody really knows about yet that they're going to find out about, and the opportunities are there for some of these young guys. So the temperature and the tone, I think, is fantastic. I mean, myself, O coordinators, D staff, like we're in the dungeon and we're grinding it out. And I'm excited.
Yeah, it does kind of look like a dungeon down there, Coach. It just looks like a good place to come up with some good football down there. We love it. Special teams coordinator for the Cowboys, John Fossil, joining us on NFL Live. We appreciate you, Coach, and really cannot wait
to see. One of the best in the business.
Yeah, how this kickoff rule change changes the game. I think it's going to be big, and kudos to you for pushing this forward. All right, back to our breaking news. As the Houston Texans traded for Bills wideout Stephon Diggs, the Texans sending back a second-round pick in next year's draft. We've alluded to some of the issues going on. You could tell that Diggs and Josh Allen, Diggs and the Bills in general, weren't really getting along, even all the way back to last offseason. So this was a Twitter exchange from Stephon Diggs just last night, responding to someone saying he was not essential to Josh Allen's success. Diggs replied, quote, "You sure?" interesting now with the news today. Let's get Dan Graziano in here for a couple. Graz, any sense why Buffalo would trade away their top wideout?
Yeah, I think it's about the return and the stuff Adam was saying early in the show about how the relationship had sort of run its course, and maybe Stephon Diggs, without explicitly saying so to the Bills, they got a sense that he would maybe prefer a fresh start. But the return, the second round pick, even though it's not till next year, the Bills, I think, felt like that was too much to pass up. It's important to note that it's Minnesota's pick via Houston. Yep. So, you know, if the Vikings are playing a rookie quarterback and they're in a rebuild mode, maybe that pick might be a little higher in the second round. But, you know, when you look at Keenan Allen having been traded for a fourth round pick, I think the Bills felt like a second round pick was a really strong offer. They take the cap hit this year. It's worse. It's a worse cap hit than they would have had for him if he'd been on the team. But he's off their books for next year, and they are in a transition phase where they're thinking about the long term. And they also looking at a draft that, as we've discussed for a while now, is loaded with wide receiver talent.
Yeah, Graz, as I alluded to earlier, there was seemingly some drama up in Buffalo last offseason. Diggs not showing up to minicamp. And listen, I mean, they were able to get through the season. I don't want to make too much of it, but what do you make of Diggs' fit in the Houston locker room?
Well, I mean, look, at the beginning in Minnesota, he was a great fit and didn't cause any issues. At the beginning in Buffalo, he was a great fit and didn't cause any issues. I think Houston will get the best of Stephon Diggs early in his tenure there. He'll be happy to be in a new place. I think people are excited about playing with C.J. Stroud. I think receivers want to go to Houston at this point for that reason. So, you know, I think you'll see a Stephon Diggs, a little older, obviously 4 years older, but the same kind of locker room presence and on-field performer that you saw when he got to Buffalo. He's a veteran receiver in a room that was very young, wide receiver core in Houston, very young, relatively. And so he'll help with that and just an excellent route runner and really the kind of thing that Houston's been looking for all offseason.
And in case you are someone who likes drama or things like that, the Texans do host the Bills this season. The date of that game, of course, TBD, but I don't know, maybe a little something to look forward to. Still to come here on NFL Live, could the Bengals add another wide receiver to their roster? You don't want to miss who Field has them grabbing in the draft and what it could mean for T. Higgins. That and much more coming your way right here on ESPN. Glad you're with us today on NFL Live. We'll be right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
No one milk.
This year's NFL draft is in Detroit, April 25th, 26th, and 27th. We got every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on the NFL Network. And as always, ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft. Don't miss it. All the coverage right here and NFL Live will be there as well. Let's talk wide receiver placement in Field Yates' latest mock draft. No huge surprises with Arizona taking Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. That's up there at 4, but then things get super interesting after that. Let's get to some quick reads on the next 3 wideouts coming off the board in Fields' mock. Let's start in New York. What goes on there, Fields?
You know, I'm not trying to do this just to make Swagoo happy, but I do love making Swagoo happy. Malik Nabers, 6th overall to the New York Giants. This is the most explosive player in the entire NFL draft. He's the 4th highest rated player on my entire board. He is a walking big play, and the Giants right now are totally bereft of fear factor players in the passing game. There's nobody that if you were to line up right now, a team would say, that scares us. That would change immediately with Malik Nabers, who is just so explosive. Meanwhile, not too far behind him, and 6th overall on my big board is Roma Dunze. He goes to the Bears, number 9 overall. This is their original pick. They, of course, own number 1 from the Carolina Panthers. He had 24 contested catches last year, Laura. That was the most of any player in the FBS, actually tied with Luke McCaffrey from Rice. He's so good in these 50-50 ball situations. So smooth, has great size, excellent speed, and off-the-charts character for Roma Dunze. He will not last beyond pick 10. Meanwhile, one more. Brian Thomas Jr. back to the LSU pipeline. Led FBS with 17 receiving touchdowns last season, averaged just over 17 catches. I think the best vertical threat in the entire draft. If you're even, he's leaving because this man can really run at that second level. Of course, the propensity for Jaden Daniels to make it look easy on those vertical shots was a huge part of LSU's success. Oftentimes, the player that was a beneficiary was Brian Thomas Jr. going to Cincinnati, who might not have T. Higgins at some point. Swag, who's into it? Hey,
let's go.
If I can make Swag you happy, I'm a happy man myself.
Every year. Every year, man. I love it, baby face. I love it. Every year, man. Yeah, you know what it is. You know what it is. I love the Brian Thomas Cincinnati thing because I think a lot of those similar traits, and I like what you're thinking, baby face, to T. Higgins. And obviously, it's going to be an ongoing conversation with what does the Cincinnati Bengals do with T. Higgins. He was a phenomenal complement to Ja'Marr Chase. And rightfully so, T. Higgins wants to go somewhere and be the featured guy. Along with what Cincinnati has the possibility of doing. Now you can go ahead and pay Chase. You got Thomas on that rookie wage scale, and you still can have a very explosive offense for Joe Burrow and what they can do. You really don't change your philosophy much. And then it's three LSU guys that's at the head of this offense, which you know I love. But very similar characteristics to what T was in college outside of the downfield. I think Thomas is a little bit better downfield presence. T was more of a bigger body, 50-50 to catch guy, but I love this from Babyface, man.
Well, Groz, what do we know about the T. Higgins trade request, potential interest from other teams? What's going on there?
Well, the Bengals don't want to trade T. Higgins, and they've let interested teams know that. Now, you know, could he get to a point where he refuses to show up, where he makes things ugly? It's possible. It hasn't happened yet. And the Bengals went through this 2 years ago with safety Jesse Bates when they played him on the franchise tag all year, and he was late to camp, but he eventually showed up and played. So the Bengals' preference would be to have T. Higgins on this year's team. Now, I don't know that they can get a contract extension done with him given the other issues Swagoo was just talking about, Ja'Marr Chase coming up for an extension. So a Brian Thomas kind of pick there for the in the first round might actually make sense for them even if they have T. Higgins this year, because they know they might lose him in free agency next year. And, and they also, Tyler Boyd remains an unsigned free agent, so they're down a man in that wide receiver room anyway.
You know, Groz, with the news of the day, I did want to bring this up. And we talked about the dead cap hit of more than $31 million that the Bills took by parting ways with Diggs. Could they be in the market for T. Higgins, considering all that?
Now, I think that the T. Higgins cap hit, if they acquired him on the way he's on the franchise tag right now, they wouldn't be able to absorb that. They'd have to clear a lot of cap space just to get him on the roster. They could do a deal with him that reduces that cap number, but in order to get him on the roster, they'd have to be able to take on his entire franchise tag salary at the time of the trade, and they are right up against the salary cap. So that feels unlikely, not to mention the fact Buffalo's probably not a team that Cincinnati's interested in trading its best players to, given that they're a potential postseason opponent.
No, that factors in for sure. Thanks to Groz for all the latest there. And now to a developing story. Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice said on Instagram that he met with Dallas police on Wednesday and takes full responsibility for his part in the six-car accident that left four people with minor injuries. Quote, I take full responsibility for my part in this matter and will continue to cooperate with the necessary authorities. I sincerely apologize to everyone impacted, end quote. Police say that a Lamborghini Rice was leasing and a Corvette were speeding, causing the crash Saturday. The occupants of the sports cars then left the scene. More NFL Live coming your way after this. We'll dive into the news of the day. Stephon Diggs to the Texans. Dan Orlovsky joining us. He's going to give his thoughts on the trade and what it means for Josh Allen and Buffalo. It's all coming your way next. We'll be right back.
A developing story into NFL Live with some major news out of Buffalo. Stephon Diggs was not on the field for the start of mandatory minicamp today.
How concerned are you about that?
Oh, very concerned.
Internally, we're working on some things as an organization, maybe not communicating the right way.
When you say, we got a problem, it's even a bigger problem.
When it becomes personal, you then have to regain trust.
Something is wrong in Buffalo.
He's a Buffalo Bill, and, you know, we're going to work it out.
Okay, that was a reminder of the drama last offseason when Stephon Diggs did not show up to Bills minicamp in June. Seems like it all came to a head today. Buffalo trading away their top wideout to Houston in return for a second-round pick next year. Certainly, this has been a process. Brandon Bean just spoke a little while ago about Josh Allen's potential input in all of this.
I have not talked to him since the move. He probably was on the West Coast, so it probably woke up to, you know, whenever that move went down, he might have been asleep. But I'll circle back with him. But, you know, Josh and I have a pretty regular conversation on things, and I think it's important for me to make sure if I think something could happen to make sure he's not blindsided. And so I would, you know, without going into the discussion with Josh when the last time we spoke was I did alert him that, you know, there had been some inquiries and it wasn't 100% off the table.
Interesting. Okay, so you hear a little bit inside the communication potentially with the GM and Josh Allen, the star quarterback. Dan Orlovsky's joining us here. We'll get to him in just a moment. Marcus is back. And here's the thing, Dan, on the Bills side of things, let's start there. You think this makes sense?
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, if you paid attention to anything around Buffalo, you heard rumors about this. You saw the body language. Stephen A. Smith has been talking about this for a year or so now.
Stephen A. was right.
It certainly doesn't make sense. No. The Bills don't have a number one or a number two receiver right now. Now, the draft obviously is upcoming. I'd say this, Laura, the pressure is on Brandon Bean and Josh Allen. And everyone knows how much I love Josh. And I think Brandon Bean's one of the best general managers in the NFL, but they don't have a number one or number two receiver. Now, if you want to tell me that it's going to be in Buffalo like it has been in Kansas City ever since Tyreek left, that they're going to run their offense through Dalton Kincaid, that's fine. And I know Steph hasn't been in the last 18 months what Steph had been in the great majority of his career, but this is a guy that's had 4,000-yard receivings in a row. He's had four seasons of 100-plus catches. So this is a massive hole for their football team that they're going to have to attack in this draft. And they can't just add one wide receiver. They need to add at least two.
We haven't had Dan Boogie. So as opposed to me giving an analysis, I want to ask D.O. D.O., what does this do? Well, give me your opinion on what this does for the psyche of Josh Allen. Knowing what you just said, that you don't have a dominant guy on the outside, and knowing that Stephon Diggs, regardless of how the end happened, was his most prolific weapon in this offense for so many years.
Yeah.
Where is he right now from a mental standpoint?
Yeah, Marcus, I think this is part of that maturation process and the leadership process. You know, we saw this with Patrick. We saw Tyreek Hill leave Patrick Mahomes, and everyone's like, well, what's going to happen? I think Josh Allen needs to take the initiative to go find his Rashee Rice. You know, when I'll go back to the draft last year and, you know, the fact that Patrick Mahomes worked Rashee Rice out and told Andy Reid, like, hey, that's the guy that we need. And told Brett Veach, that's the guy that we need. There's got to be some input and a ton of input from Josh Allen, Marcus, about, hey, this is the receiver that I like the way he runs routes and we're going to get on the same page. And this is the reality of the highly paid quarterback, right? So I think his psyche's got to be, you know, the development of that leadership. Everyone talks about that with Patrick, and I know we compare, but that's just – Josh is going to have to take all of this in situational and take the initiative to make sure he makes this situation right.
Yeah, as we've talked about, the cap hit that came with this makes it pretty obvious that the Bills are going to have to go to the draft
right.
to replace – Diggs and to get somebody who's going to have an instant impact. Let's go to the Texans side of this. Dan, I'm real curious about your opinion here. Caps off a really good offseason. They shored up the defense with the additions of Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry. Then on the offensive side, they add Joe Mixon and Diggs. The Texans right now, are they the top threat to Kansas City in the AFC, Dan?
Yeah, it certainly feels that way right now with them in Baltimore. Real quick on Buffalo, Laura, I think the two names for me, okay, before I get into Houston, the two names are A.D. Mitchell and Keon Coleman. Okay, I think those are the two receivers that make the most sense. Now to Houston, yes, they've had an unbelievable offseason, and they're right there with Baltimore. The thing that I love about the addition of Stephon Diggs, and we've had Hawk on, and he talks about this offense under Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator. There's these three levels that this offense consistently tries to attack. Well, they have Nico Collins as the guy that can be the vertical person, and Dalton Schultz can be a little bit of that underneath threat, and Brevin Jordan, their tight ends, can be a little bit of the underneath threat. They've needed that, and I know Tank Dell is there, but we'll see how his health is coming off that injury. They need that receiver that can own the 10-yard to 20-yard space of the field. Stephon Diggs has absolutely become that person. I think that is where he's going to live in this offense.
D.O., I love that, because that's what I was going to ask you as well about the scheme. The other thing is this. When you look at Houston, it's funny that we're talking about two opposite ends of the spectrum, because I'm of the opinion that the Buffalo Bills window has closed. Now, they're going to have to be magnificent, because as much as we're talking about the offensive side of the football, they left some foundational guys defensively walked out of that building as well. On the other hand, as we have this conversation about the Houston Texans, it's so fascinating every time I get a chance to hear you talk about quarterbacks, because we see the business side of realizing we hit a home run with the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now everything else, the floodgates have opened, and now we fulfill all of those things around him to continue to complement this football team. Same sentiment you thinking, or am I in the right path?
They're trying to beat the Bengals when they went to the Super Bowl, Marcus. And you could make the case that Houston right now is as deep an offense as they have in the AFC. I mean, the two tight ends, and now they have three really good receivers and Joe Mixon. This offense is very deep when it comes to the ability to spread the football around.
You know, Adam Schefter alluded to this earlier, but the turnaround that the Texans have made in such a short period of time, they've made some really good bets on C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson Jr. in the draft, but they've also been really smart and calculated about the way that they've made moves. I think D'Amico Ryan certainly at the head of that with his leadership. Thanks for being with us today on NFL Live. We'll see you tomorrow.